Welcome to Discover Barnstable, the official podcast of the town of Barnstable, a podcast where you can meet the people who steward the programs and services for the town of Barnstable that connects us to our quality of life. We invite you to join the conversation as we navigate municipal government and our community pathways to help you discover Barnstable. I'm Paula Hersey, and today I'm joined with my fellow co-host and tour guide, Lynn Poyant.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Lynn. As we explore this week's topic of discussion, Police 101, with our guest, Police Chief Matthew Sonneman. Joining the Barnstable Police Department as patrolman in 1997, Matt rose to the ranks to become police chief in 2018. Welcome, Chief Sonneman. 1997, huh?
That does seem like a long time ago. Thanks for mentioning how long ago that was.
More than happy to bring you back to those memories, Chief.
So nice to speak with you again, Paula. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, Chief.
Lynn's going to ask you some questions now, Chief.
What about how long ago I was born?
We're going to start our first question with if you can briefly describe what divisions are within the Barnstable Police Department.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Well, I think you came up with it.
I came up with it maybe, huh? Obviously, the first one that really pops into mind is the patrol division, which is the part of the police department that most people are really familiar with. The people that are out there driving around in the marked cars, the unmarked cars, wearing the uniform. The visible presence of the police department on a daily basis. When you call in for assistance or you need help, you got an emergency or just community-oriented events, that's the face of the department that most people are familiar with and see on a regular basis. The next thing that people really probably come into interaction with a little bit more is the detective division. And the detectives, they handle a lot of the, they initiate investigations. We have a drug unit within the detective division. We also have a cyber crime unit that investigates crimes that occur through the internet or, you know, involving technology and things like that. The cyber crime unit also and the detective division also work with exterior partners like the U.S. Marshals and the Postal Service and DEA, FBI, ATF to investigate other crimes that might rise to something that's a little bit more than what a normal police department would do. They've got the funding and the expertise and the equipment. They come in, they help us out. We work with them together to do joint investigations, as well as we do with the state police and whatnot. So the detective division really does a lot of follow-up as well. Something may start on a patrol level, like, for instance, your car or your house gets broken into. The patrol comes out, does the initial investigation, takes the initial report, does as much as they can do on the groundwork, and then the detective division will pick that up and start following up on things, doing other interviews and looking at other sources of information like pawn logs and other things like that to see if any of the material that may have been stolen has come up somewhere for sale. And then they do the follow-ups from there and try and track down who broke into or who stole the goods or was involved in the murder and everything else like that. So those are the two divisions that people are really familiar with. Here in Hyannis, a third division that people are really familiar with, especially in the downtown area, is the Community Impact Unit. And what they do is they're out there on a daily basis dealing with the homeless population, disadvantaged people. They also get into a lot of the mental health work. So they're out there, they go out actually not just dealing with the homeless individuals or the people you see hanging around on the Village Green or in the Main Street, but they go out into the camps, they do outreach. Our CSO program, the civilian program you see in the summertime, in particular with the lime green shirts on, the really loud shirts on, they're out there walking around and they interact with the public, answering questions, I think, but they're a branch off of the Community Impact Unit. And what the methodology, what the real thought process there behind that is you want people to be out there and interacting with those populations that the police don't generally interact with a lot. You know, we're out there in the patrol car, we're going from call to call, we're doing, you know, running radar, doing different things. But there are still things that occur with the homeless population and others that, you know, hang around the Main Street area that we want to kind of keep an eye on. We also want to offer them services, you know, and a good way to outreach with them since the police do interact with them a lot. We see them at calls. We do speak with them on a variety of different reasons. It's a good bridge to them to work with Duffy and some of our other partners in the community to get into there, go out to the camps with them, to extend them offers of help and assistance and things like that. And the CIU really gets into doing a lot of things. They do a crisis intervention council where they bring once a month, they bring everybody together from the hospital, healthcare industries, the police department and other area departments, bring them in and they start talking about some of the more problematic individuals and developing plans on how to get them services, how to, you know, get them out of the situations they're in. And they focus on the individuals. They try and get them housing. So a day for a CIU person, you might come in and you end up spending all day working with one individual trying to get them into alternative housing or to get them off the streets or to get them into treatment or other things like that. So that's something that a lot of the general public doesn't necessarily know about, but there's a lot of on behind the scenes work that goes on, and they work with the BID and Duffy and, like I said, a lot of other partners in the Main Street area to try and especially the town DPW. And I get to give them some credit, a lot of credit actually, because when it comes to time to clean up some of these camps that are out there, the DPW has always been a good partner for us. And going out there, getting into the woods and picking stuff up and cleaning up the areas, because sometimes there's trash left behind and we gotta clean it up, and we all work together here. And you know, another good division in the police department is the mountain bike unit. You see them out in the summertime. Not as much this summer. We've had some issues with staffing. It's, you know, another big topic with police, not just the police. You see it in a lot of other industries as well. But particularly in public safety, it's tough getting good qualified candidates these days. I know probably touching on another subject further on down the line, but so that's a struggle. So getting some of these divisions that we're talking about now, they're really dependent on us having full staffing. You know, we get the boats, you know, the Marine Division, they're out there on the ocean or on the lake, you know, Lake Wequaket. We got two boats. And we have officers that work on the SWAT team. Right now it's a regional SWAT team, so we partner with other agencies across the Cape to field a SWAT team, the Sheriff's Department as well. And then we also have a real good, big portion of the police department is our communications division. We are what they call a PSAP, which is a primary public safety answering point. So all the 911 calls within the town of Barnstable come to the Barnstable Police Department. That's whether you pick it up from your landline, you know, your house phone, for those of us that still actually have one, or a cellular phone. And they all come to our dispatch center. And we have at least three civilian dispatchers working. We call them dispatchers, but they're much more than that. They're really telecommunicators working at any time on any given shift. Day shift usually has four. But what they do is they answer the calls. You call in on 911 or you call in the business line, they pick up the phone and they find out what you need. You know, and they're trained specifically to handle the 911 emergencies, to gather the information that we need, and to dispatch the appropriate personnel to wherever it might be. That profession nowadays, and it really has become a profession, has evolved a lot. I mean, you were so kind to bring up that I just started in 1997. Back in that day, someone called 911, you just picked it up. It was just usually a police officer picked up, said 911, what's the nature of your emergency? And you pressed the button and sent it to wherever it needed to go. Or if it was a police emergency, you pressed the button on the radio and sent them. But now you're gathering so much more information. We do emergency medical dispatch. So when you call in with a medical emergency or someone's hurt or whatever, the dispatchers are trained. There's cards and there's digital cards that they go by and walk people through so they can give CPR at the scene. They can start giving that medical assistance and what they call pre-arrival care instructions to people that are actually on the scene. So in the time it takes a police officer or an ambulance crew or whoever might be needed to get out there to actually provide the professional assistance, they can start giving these pre-arrival instructions to the people that are there and willing and able to help. And it also helps us out a lot because we've entered into a partnership over the last couple of years of dispatching Hyannis Fire. So we actually, our dispatchers can actually communicate. They dispatch for Hyannis Fire, so they communicate directly with whoever from Hyannis Fire is going to these emergencies. So that really streamlines the dispatching process for the fire department. And also gives them the heads up. They have a direct link to our dispatch so they can hear the information as it comes in, and it really provides great information to the first responders at the time. So those are a few of the divisions that are right off the top of my head out of the Barnstable Police Department. But, you know, I'm sure I'm probably forgetting something, but we have a lot of community services. What am I forgetting?
The important one for this time of year, and it seems that it's probably been overworked, is the traffic division.
Crazy. Shame on me. And you're correct. That has been not just this time of year, but All throughout the year, our major complaints in the town of Barnstable right now have to do with traffic and loud vehicles. It's really, those things have really risen to the top of the complaints for a lot of the citizens around town, and the major complaints out of all the villages center usually around traffic, pedestrian safety, mm-hmm. and things like that. So the traffic division is out there, an arm of the patrol division, and what they do is we get all these traffic. Now, for instance, we get all these traffic complaints. You complain they're speeding on the road. The traffic division tracks all those, assigns and priorities, make sure the each of the shifts knows where the hot spots are in their areas and then the different villages. And then they also go out and they do focused patrols. We get grants. You know, we get assistance from the state and federal partners to provide grants to get extra police officers out on the street. And the traffic division really goes out there and does this extra enforcement, either for seatbelts, distracted driving, speeding, or anything else like that. But the other thing they also do is they, once again, the DPW, they partner with the DPW. So you get these road construction projects that are going on, and they partner to try and figure out, you know, safety routes and, you know, the detour routes and things like that, making sure we have staffing or whoever needs to be out there to do the traffic assistance to make sure people travel safely through construction zones. And we're going to be seeing a lot of that over the next 30 years. But making sure all that stuff's sent out properly. Also message out to the public about different things that are going on. We have officers that are trained in the traffic division to investigate serious motor vehicle accidents, like fatal accidents or accidents of serious injury, accidents that involve large trucks, commercial vehicle enforcement, and things like that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the complaints we also get right now, and as you see with all these construction projects going on, is there's an increased presence of large construction vehicles on the roads in our towns and villages, you know, our villages and on our main streets. And each of those trucks, you know, not just like driving around in a regular car, each of those trucks has special regulations that govern what they can and cannot do. You know, they got to have their loads covered. They got to use chains when they're moving equipment, things like that. So regular officers, you know, might not be as up on the different rules and regulations for trucks, but officers within the traffic division are trained to, you know, weigh trucks and to look at different things on trucks and know what kind of enforcement actions are taken, and often consult with our partners or work with our partners in the state police who have an actual truck enforcement unit to come out and do different things if we have problems in different areas. But they're out there all the time, and thanks for bringing that up. Oh, and one of the big things, you know, especially this time of year with the traffic division, they handle a lot of our special events. Right. So a lot of our parades and different events that are going on that has anything to do with road races,
yeah,
out on the streets, bike, yeah, races and all that other stuff. Really, the traffic division steps up, really have a lot to do with the planning around those events, because those events involve a lot of people on the streets and moving back and forth, pedestrians and vehicles. So they're intimately involved with a lot of those and making sure we set the right traffic control points and making sure everyone's safe when they go to these events. So outstanding. They do an outstanding job.
They really do, you know, even on the sidewalks.
We stay off the sidewalks, most right? of us.
In what non-traditional ways does Barnstable Police interact with the community?
Well, you know, there's a lot.
Give me two examples.
Well, there's a lot of different things, you know. And what we did see, you know, we had pre-COVID and post-COVID. You know, we're kind of edging, you know, we keep pushing post-COVID, but, you know, pre-COVID, there was a lot going on. You know, you had coffee with a cop, ice cream with cops, you had, you know, the Main Street festivals, you had Halloween. We're out there at each of these events interacting with the public, and you got, we had citizens police academies, you know, there's inside Barnstable town government that we get involved in to show people what, you know, what the police officers do on a daily basis, what kind of training goes on, and what, you know, what happens inside the building that people don't generally get to see. Then we have the police explorers that we started up during COVID to reach younger children, like kids who might be interested in a career in law enforcement someday, you know, give them an opportunity. It's sort of a citizens police academy, modeled a little bit more towards them. So they come in, they, you know, we give them a uniform, we get them involved with doing a variety of different things, show them what police officers might do. And, you know, they get through that. And that's been a pretty successful program. We also got an officer that's stationed over at the Elder Services at the Barnstable Adult Community Center. And right now with COVID and things that have gone on, that's been kind of scaled back, but we had an officer that was stationed there. And that's pretty integral. I know this probably touches on one of your other questions, but that's pretty integral because there are a lot of crimes going on out there. There's a lot of people that take advantage of the opportunity to get to, you know, especially the elder population who may not have as much people aren't talking to them as much anymore. You know, they get a little lonely and everything else like that. So people take advantage of that, and we try and get out there. We present like scam awareness and things like that at the community center. But we also get in there and start talking to the groups, because although an elder might not tell us themselves they're experiencing something, a lot of the people that work in the community, in the adult community center, know their population and are speaking with them, have the trust with them, and then they might divulge to them that they're having a problem. So then they can speak directly to an officer, and we can start looking into some of these things. And we've come across a variety of different crimes that might have gone unnoticed if it hadn't have been for that connection. And I think the one thing that really intertwines and brings all these things together is it's communication, and it's getting out there and talking to people and being involved with them and taking an opportunity to go to their different events, you know, just to be there and create bridges to people and give them the opportunity to speak to us. Because a lot of times we hear it all the time. I didn't want to call, but, well, that's what we're here for. Call us, let us know what's going on. And if it's not necessarily a police problem, you know, we're good at pushing issues to someone else or knowing where the issue might need to be taken up so people can get a hold of it. And, you know, in this society, everyone's trained, it's kind of beaten into you. You know, if you got a problem, call 911. You know, the police department doesn't solve all those problems. We get all the calls, but we direct them to wherever they need to go, whether it's fire, you know, mental health, or, you know, even calling somebody, you know, getting a hold of a plumber or DPW, whatever it might be, you know, that we're an information point to or a resource where people can call us and we can direct them into the right area.
You've great talked, segue.
Yeah, you've talked a bit about generations, and we know that you have the fabulous patrol officer, Brian Morrison, stationed at the Hyannis Youth and Community Center.
Yes.
And he's incredibly active. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you do with different cultures, how you communicate with different cultures?
We go to events like Unity Days, one good example. It was started up by the Barboza brothers and Chief McDonald, that tries to really specifically to bring people of different cultures, and specifically the African Americans, into interaction with the police officers, and to get us all sharing space and talking and getting everybody to realize that, you know, we are all people, you know, and if we take the time to get to understand each other and to know each other, then that helps things go a lot smoother. But, you know, particularly during COVID, what a lot of times we were doing, we were working with the town, and you know, we have officers that are bilingual, several officers that are bilingual, to help outreach to the Brazilian community in particular during the COVID time, to make sure that they got the information that they needed, you know, to generate signs or to go to different testing sites, to be there to reach out to that community in particular, to to make sure that everything went smoothly and that they understood what was going on. Because even though you may have signs translated and everything else, there's still stuff that's lost in translation. And having someone that's a familiar face, you know, to deal with your different group is always a nice thing. It makes people feel a little bit more comfortable.
A trusted resource.
Exactly. You know, because they know them in the community. You know, they know them. You know, you go to church. You see your friends and you see your church, and you deal with the police, and you're seeing someone that you know from your community, and it's helpful. And recently, a big push is to try and hire people from other communities. You know, like we recently hired a Jamaican officer. He's doing outstanding work and doing great. But getting the problem with us is that because we're a civil service organization, you have to take a statewide exam. And there's been a track record that sometimes those statewide exams aren't necessarily geared the best way towards a minority population. They might favor different populations, and sometimes people fall through the cracks, and it's unfortunate. But what I'd like to do is get the word out, say we're always looking and want people to come in. You know, if you think that we can always use someone to reflect your community. And if you want to represent your community, we're always looking. We're always looking for new hires, and please come. But reaching out to different communities can take a lot of different approaches, and a lot of it is just getting an opportunity to go to different events and being there and speaking with different people.
You actually segue perfectly into a question that we have, which is how can individuals find out more information on becoming a Barnstable police officer?
Well,
or volunteer.
So we do have volunteers. You know, that was we do have a volunteer program. and the Citizens Police Academy when it was up and running. Hopefully we're going to get that back up now that COVID is kind of, knock on wood, but hopefully now it's kind of normalizing, let's say. People are learning how to deal with it. Get the Citizens Police Academy back up and running, because that was a good way to outreach a variety of different people. And we encouraged everyone to apply, because it gets everybody. And everyone gets to come together and experience the class. And it was a good source of our volunteer base. But if you're interested in being a volunteer at the Barnstable Police Department, you can certainly call the Barnstable Police Department, our regular business line, and ask to speak with either Miss Donna Silva or Miss Ann Spillane. And if you can't speak to them directly, you can email chief@barnstablepolice.com, chief@barnstablepolice.com, and that will come in and we'll disseminate it to whoever we need to. We're not always looking for volunteers. But we do have the Main Street station that we like to have a volunteer down at. We have our front window, and we work people in whenever we can. And if you want to be a police officer, like I said, we are what they call a civil service police department. So in order to get on the list to be hired, you actually have to take the statewide exam. That exam used to be given every 2 years, but now they give it every year. And it moves around. It's kind of a moving target. It was in March, and it was in April, and it was in May, and then it was in June, and now it's back in March. So you go to the Massachusetts Department of Human Resources, or Human Resources Department, HRD, under their civil service section. They post up on there when the next exams are going to be, and they talk about some of the basic requirements to get on the job. And it's pretty simple. You got to pass the exam. And you either got to have a high school diploma, a GED, or have served 3 years with an honorable discharge from the United States military. So that's real big. And you got to be 21 or older at the day you get hired. So you can be under 21 to take the exam, but by the time you come up to be hired, you got to be 21. So you could be 20, take the exam, and while you're waiting, you turn 21 and you can get hired. So there is no requirement right now that you're a U.S. citizen. By the time of hire, you should be. But right now, to take the exam, you don't have to be.
That's great information to have.
Yeah.
So we're going to move into the fun part of the interview.
Are we
going to
throw water balloons at Paula?
No. We're going to go into our rapid-fire questions.
Oh.
So these, no homework required. What's your favorite time of day?
My favorite time of day is bedtime.
No, that's the first time we've heard that.
Dessert.
Dessert time.
What was your first concert?
Let's see. That was Warrant and Firehouse in Louisville, Kentucky.
Wow.
That's a throwback.
Are you going to tell us the year that was?
It was probably 1991.
Okay.
Late bloomer.
And where is your favorite place to be in Barnstable?
My favorite place to be in Barnstable. Well, I guess that depends. So many good places. Like yesterday, I was down at Dowsers Beach, and being at the beach on a nice afternoon is great. It's fantastic. But I also like to be out the Trail of Tears. Being out in the woods is a pretty, pretty nice place. But, that's a stumper, because there's so many good places. I mean, going out to a restaurant, and a restaurant can be awesome. But I would say the beach. Ultimately, the beach.
Excellent.
Thanks for spending time with us.
You are most welcome.
And listening
do I get
to
discover.
Yes, you do. And listening to Discover Barnstable, the official podcast of the town of Barnstable. We hope you found a new understanding of how your municipal government works to protect, engage, and enact for you and our community. Be sure to drop us a line at podcast@town.barnstable.ma.us and let us know what you would like to learn next. Till next time, go discover Barnstable.